I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Here we go!
The Slacker Show.
Let's go.
Always on in my car.
The best when I'm driving.
Featuring T-Hack and Aaron.
It gets me pumped up.
Hey! Let's go!
The Slacker Show.
Afternoons on Alice 105.9.
This is, oh my God.
Today might be one of them.
I don't.
It's feeling that way already. The look on your face is telling me this is going to be an extraordinary day for me.
I hate you so much. Is there something wrong with me, Aaron? Do you think?
You seem a little moody, boss.
Don't call me boss. I hate that. I want everyone listening to understand I am the boss of no one, not even myself. There's a story that says the average person enjoys over 100 extraordinary days a year if you drink wine.
Oh, I don't drink wine.
I drink everything. I don't. What?
Do you still drink wine? You used to be, because you used to get like cases delivered and stuff here. They were the big barrels when they bring them in. You remember that?
It took us a lot to put them into your car.
Okay. I am not the boss of anyone here, nor has anyone here been trusted to carry my wine shipments down to my Bentley. So I do still drink wine. I was, when I was going to Napa more often for some of the live events we used to do in Napa, now Aaron goes in my place. I was a big wine drinker. I don't like red wine at all when it's hot outside.
Okay, because didn't you get more into like bourbon and stuff more recently?
I definitely love all the bourbons and whatnot.
But you still drink everything.
I do still drink everything, but regardless of what I'm drinking, or even if I'm drinking nothing. And by the way, there are days where that happens.
What?
Those are not extraordinary days.
I don't remember the last extraordinary day. And before we went on the air, I started to say that. And Aaron, you agree, right? There's no...
Yeah, I don't know. Extraordinary just seems like a lot. Great days, sure. Good days, absolutely. Extraordinary?
Great. Like...
Not so much.
Okay. And then TX like, I'm having one day. Yeah. What makes an extraordinary day for you? Okay. May I preface by saying, I think maybe you're just, no, never mind. Look at your doe eyes. I can't do it.
Let me cover him up.
No, because he's got those big brown chocolatey eyes and he's looking at me like.
It's almost just like he has such a simple life that the smallest thing makes it extraordinary.
Yes.
That's the answer. Yeah.
When your baseline is Culver's.
Hey.
I gotta stop the Culver hate, but like, I'm gonna give him another try, by the way, because we got a lot of angry texts the last time I talked crap about him, but we also got a lot of people backing me up on it, saying it's pretty trashy. I didn't mean to bring it up again, but I'm saying if your baseline is Culver's, then like Snow Fox sushi is dope. Like, it's like, holy cow, I'm having a real meal. It's like, it's still in a plastic container from King Soopers. Like, it's so your level, what it takes to make you feel like a day is exceptional or extraordinary might be lower than ours.
I think so, but I think it's an attitude of gratitude is what it is. Because
he's doing. Now he's making it about
us.
You know, he's making it about us. The reason we don't have extraordinary days is because we don't appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm. You don't stop and look around every once in a while, I think. Like, first of all, being we live in Colorado, which more than 300 days of sunshine a year, which is more than Miami. So pretty much every day here in Colorado, it's a beautiful day. Would you disagree? It's just a beautiful day.
No, we're used to it. We've been here our whole lives.
Yes. And that's what's wrong. You got to take a second and go, you know what? Oh my God. Oh, look at those mountains. They're right there. This is awesome. I live in Colorado. It could not get better than this.
Literally, as he's talking, I notice for the first time since moving to the studio that we're in right now.
The mountains are right there.
We have windows on two sides. And we have a breathtaking view of Long's Peak right there.
That's why, like, I can't look out that window. I can't focus if I start looking.
It's still like snowy up there. Like, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. I remember like first moving here because I'm used to the Iowa summer where it's real muggy and then it's real humid and just all that stuff. And to just be able to sit outside and just not sweat is awesome. And that happens here in Colorado pretty much every day. That's step one to being an extraordinary day.
Aaron?
Yeah.
I just
and I'm so grateful that I get to live here.
So that to you is enough to be extraordinary. You see the mountains, mm-hmm. You're outside, and that's extraordinary. I think that's the problem with Aaron and I is it's ordinary.
Yeah.
We've lived so long with what you consider extraordinary that we're screwed. Like we can't, even though I think Long's Peak looks beautiful from me staring at it right now, it's like, wow, that's wow.
To us, it's like, that's west.
That's west. That's how all. I know which way I'm going.
Yeah.
If it's on my left side, I'm headed mm-hmm. north. If it's on my right side, I'm headed south. That's all those things mean to me now.
But do you ever like you famously, you drive a Tesla.
Yes.
And some you put in autopilot or self-drive mode. So you'll get in your car, you'll put in your home address and it'll drive you all the way home. And then when it pulls into the driveway, do you ever just stop and go, oh my gosh, I just drove all the way from work to home in a car that drove me. That's so nice. And now I get to go and relax in my house. And like, it could not get better than this. What a great, I'm so lucky I get to experience that.
Have you ever heard?
Or do you just go, God, I'm home.
Have you ever heard the phrase toxic positivity?
Yeah.
What is toxic about
no,
it?
I'm saying you're not past that line yet.
Like,
I'm just saying you to stop and notice the little things that are happening. I think extraordinary things probably are happening to both of you all the time. And maybe you're just not open to them or you're just poo-pooing them as they happen.
I think we're busy with other things to not necessarily focus on it, but just to like literally drive past it, move on.
It's true. Like, I had a passenger in my car the other day. They got in the car and they were like, oh my God, the entire roof of your car is glass. And I looked up and I'm like, oh. I guess it is. Like, I hadn't noticed that. So I could literally be staring at the mountains, staring at the bald eagles that like swoon over me as I drive home and the cherubs and the singing and the dance. But I'm just like, like, I don't know how to fix it.
Well, I'm also at a lucky point in life where my kids are very little. So there's lots of milestones. They still want to be with me, all that little stuff. But even like you went on a college visit with your son. That's extraordinary. He's old enough. He's becoming a man. He's going to make a big decision in his life.
You hate college.
But even the visit was like, oh, okay. I got to spend a day with my son. We got to probably grab a burger and we chatted and he's a dude now. Like, that's extraordinary.
I'm going back to what Aaron said. You are toxically positive, and I'm done with you.
The Slacker Show. Afternoons on Alice 105.9.
We found the chink in the armor of TX's relationship. You're not car compatible with your wife.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I never heard of this before today, and literally all I did was read the headline. So if anybody's gone a little farther, what does it mean to be car compatible? Like if they're an SUV and you're a WRX or like, you know what I mean?
That's part of it. And then it's also like how you treat your vehicles. If one is real messy and full of stuff and the other one's real clean and neat, how you drive the vehicle. If one's like real fast and other's cautious. Yeah. Because if you're in a relationship, you share cars. It says you share like 8 times a month. You swap cars, go back and forth for whatever reason.
When I've been married, we almost never swapped cars.
I refuse. I cannot.
You don't?
Granted, I've been the only car owner.
So you just let him borrow it occasionally when you were dating the last guy.
That's my car. I take care of it. It's clean.
Is it because
I'm hard on the brakes, but...
But were you car compatible? Is he a throw, like finish a Big Mac and throw the wrapper?
Yeah.
He is? He was?
Was,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't borrow somebody's car. Like,
and then trash
you become compatible. Like, you have to adapt if you're...
For sure.
If it's not your car.
But what if it's the other way? You don't want to get into somebody's dirty car and then have to clean it to
but
make yourself feel...
But if you're borrowing it, you got to just... Then you adapt to their rules and you just blow your nose on the seatbelt.
No, I would, if I were to borrow, like there was one time where I borrowed my sister's car and unfortunately it was in the hailstorm and got totaled. But
oh
like,
my God, that's right. You drove her car to the concert that totaled my car.
Yeah.
She takes care of her car.
Yes.
But I would like.
You got her a new Tesla.
I know. You're welcome.
Oh my God.
I treated it really well because that's what you do when you borrow something. You return it better than you got it.
Yes, you should. Most people don't though. Most people are just. Ugh. Okay. Yeah. So are you in AHAC compatible in the wrappers in your car?
We are. Yeah. My car is very clean, extremely clean because I don't do anything in it. I don't eat in it. I just drive from here to home.
You get fast food more than any three people that I know.
Yeah. So there's like a, sure, there's a grease stain in the passenger seat, but other than that, the back seat is your seat.
It probably really is an oil slick on your passenger seat.
Yeah.
Where it just kind of leaks through, like, yeah, whatever
it
is there.
It sticks on there for me when I'm taking those sharp turns.
Because I got some Five Guys the other day, and I didn't realize that bag just greases.
Oh, that bag is the worst.
It is the worst. And then I happened to be at Chipotle too. I got a little greasy salsa stain. And
oh,
like,
no.
Man, I got a Tesla that's just like, ugh. Okay, so you're compatible in that.
That way, yeah. And my wife has like one of those little mini trash cans that fits in the holder.
Yeah, I have that.
Yeah, yeah, so that's good. But then she doesn't empty it. So then I have to empty it when we share the
I'm going
to
tell you, I don't know where you're not car compatible, but I can tell you the one you probably don't want to admit.
Mm.
I would imagine, being from Puerto Rico, your wife drives with a little bit of aggression. Like, the Latin people, when I was in Brazil, I was just like, oh my God, there's a 3-lane road and the cars are 6 lanes wide on it. Cause nobody
the
lines are merely suggestions. Everyone's honking, everyone's swerving, everyone's hauling butt.
Yes.
And that's how they drive. I was behind you coming into the parking lot the other day.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh my God. Driving Miss Daisy hauled ass. It was like watching F1 compared to this fool.
I had my Culver's in the front seat. Am I going to spill it?
It should go faster because you got a grease slick over there. You literally drive. You're the worst driver I've ever seen.
I am. Yes.
And because I think, did we talk about this on the air or not?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
you drive slow. It's dangerous.
Yeah. Just go around me. Just leave me out
we
of whatever
can't.
You're
it's
doing.
It's a one-lane road, yeah, and we're not in...
But my wife, you're right, she drives very fast. So, in fact, and she's like a real driver. She did the autocross stuff. Like, they would meet up on a Saturday and put cones in a parking lot, just all these different people. And she would take... She used to have an old Subaru stick shift, a manual, that she would drive and race, like, and zip through all these things. Yeah.
Your wife is Tokyo Drift.
Yes, she is, yeah. And I'm not. I would ride with her sometimes, but... I would get nauseous kind of quick, so I had to take breaks.
Well, you're sitting on a grease strip. So is that the only way your car, or is the stick?
The stick. Because she upgraded her car. Her Subaru went bad. The belt went bad. She had to get a new one. And she's like, well, I want a stick shift. That's all I've ever driven. And I was like, no, you can't get a stick shift because we got to share this car. And I don't know how to drive that.
You legitimately, as a grown human being, you grew up in Iowa, farm country.
Yes.
Farm implements are stick shift.
They are, but I did not live on a farm. There are some towns there.
I know, but you still have to know how to drive a stick.
Yeah, it seems like it would be more taught there.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how to drive stick.
What?
But I grew up in Denver. It's not a farm town.
You should still know how to. Every human being listening to me right now should know how
I'll
to drive
learn.
A stick.
Yeah, we definitely learned in driver's ed, but it's just like you had the one day. There's like one day where you try it out, and then that's it. And then you go back to your normal car, which just isn't a stick shift. And then you go the next 12 years of your life, you never see a stick shift again until I started dating her, and she had one. And so
Armageddon happens, nuclear bomb hits, we're all running out, and most vehicles are just incapacitated in the parking lot. And you're like, I got to get home to my kids. Here's a stick shift. You're stuck here. You can't get us out of here.
No, we can get in the car and like just go under 10 the entire time.
Yeah.
The Slacker Show.
Alice.
105.9.
OPP, other people's problems. That's what we call it. So let's do one.
Yeah.
Tiek has titled this one, what are you saying? Who doesn't want?
What woman wouldn't want their ailing mother-in-law to move in with them?
He did it on purpose that time.
Ailing, not ailing. Alien.
Ailing.
Ailing.
Yes.
Ailing. Try saying it.
Ailing.
Yeah, that one was better.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Sick.
Well, we don't have time to take her problem. Yes, her sick. She, okay.
Thank you.
Melissa, we're done to giving you a headline. What's going on?
Yai.
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 Yeah, what about this alien?
Oh. Oh my gosh. Oh man, my lovely mother-in-law. She's aging, and man, she's fallen quite a few times at her house.
Oh no.
You know, which is like a really scary thing, and she needs some help being taken care of, and my husband decided to take it upon himself without telling me first. Told his two sisters.
Oh.
Sure, mom could come live with us. Yeah, didn't mention it to me, just told them, and...
Oh, so this is a done deal. Kind of. Sorry, maybe it's not. We might be able to stop it.
Fine.
Sorry.
I, no, it's not. I just, God, this gives me so much anxiety when I talk about it because, you know, we have two full-time careers, two kids in elementary school, okay? Oh. This is like a pressure that I can't even imagine taking on right now, and I want to help. I love my mother-in-law. I've been with my husband for like 20 years. Love him.
Yep.
But this is crazy, okay? And he's like, look, I'll do anything for my mom. I said, I'd do anything for your mom, too, except really have her live at our house. And he's like, well, it'll set a good example for the girls, you know, for the future, because, you know, one day they're going to have to take care of us. And I'm like, I don't really want to think that far. I could be dead by then. So I don't know. I want to know from you guys, is it too late to back out? Am I going to look like a jerk? Am I going to be now the outcast in the family?
Well, can I ask you this? I mean, and maybe you haven't talked to him about this, but does this feel like if she moves in, then the next time she moves out, I hate saying, is in a casket? Like, is she moving in forever? Is that the sense you get? If she's failing in health, is she going to come there until she's failing so bad she has to be put in like some sort of medical facility, or she's going to stay there till she dies?
Guys, she's going to stay here till she dies.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, how can I have this woman who's like in her late 80s, you know, move into a facility after she's getting comfortable at my house? I know that's what it is. Like, I have a bleeding heart. My husband's a good man, and I know for a fact that if we 100% agree to this, his sisters are going to wash their hands of it and be like, okay, cool, you're going to take care of mom. Like, they're not going to really do more than they have to, you know? So it's kind of a done deal.
He's already told them.
Actually, I found out from his sister, which is like the worst part. She was hey, I heard mom's going to come live with you guys. I'm like, haha, you're kidding, right?
Yeah.
So I was pissed that I had to find out from her. I just don't know. Like, I don't want to be a monster, but like, how do I live my life?
No, but you also have to think, I mean, you have to think about your kids too. Do you want them to see, like, sure, they're getting more time with their grandma, but do you want them to see? Sorry, I'm.
Oh God,
this one's kind of personal. And do you want the kids to see end of life?
Sorry, if you don't know this, Melissa, Aaron's sister's going through some stuff as well. That's tough to.
I'm so sorry.
Let me jump in with the phone number 303-222-5423 or text in at 51059. I mean, I don't know that it's bad for the kids to see that, but I also, like, I don't know that Melissa taking her eye off her kid's ball to take care of someone else is, you know, I don't know the right thing. In your situation, I mean, obviously she's the mom of the kids, so she has to stay, right? Yeah. I didn't realize this one was going to hit. I am so sorry.
I didn't either.
Well, Melissa, your husband agreed right away. Like, it seemed like it didn't even occur to him to ask you. Is this just one of those things, like, when you're married to somebody and it's so important to the other person that do you have to just go, okay, and I'll get the next one or whatever. Like, we'll take turns.
Yeah. Kind of.
I think it's just one of those things, like, we're usually on the same page, and I think that's why he did it. Like, he didn't do it in malice. He wasn't trying to be a jerk. I think he knows the kind of heart that I have, and so he just figured, like, oh, sure, Melissa will do it, no problem. But I think I was just so taken by surprise by it, and I'm under a crazy amount of stress already with work right now and, like, end of the year for the girls and everything, that it's just very overwhelming. And, you know, you guys said something, like, about having my girls see certain things, but I also think of the other side. I don't want my girls to not have their mom in good health, not just their grandma.
That's true.
But, like,
because you're going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
Mentally, physically, you know, yes, maybe we can, like, hire an aide to come and help, but again, like, I always worry about that. It's like, I never, you know, want her to feel like she has to rely on a stranger. So I'm going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting, let's be honest. So I don't want to not be there for my girls emotionally, mentally, physically. So it's a really hard decision to make. And I just, it's like, how do I go to his sisters and be like, guys, you got to do your part. I mean, they only live like 20 minutes away. So
I know, but you can't shuttle a sick mom from house to house. Yeah. Like she's going to have to, I want to tell you something that I don't know that you want to hear, but you need to hear it. You're an incredible wife.
Yeah.
Because he never even thought twice. He thought for sure you'd be on board. And don't take that as a guilt trip that now you have to jump on board. But it was like, I think he's like, crap, my mom's sick and Melissa will just be behind me on this. And hey, here's a pro tip to dudes out there. You still gotta ask.
Yeah.
You don't just move and a sick woman into the house. Like, I know you love your mama, but you gotta...
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially, I mean, Melissa nailed it. It's like, who's going to be doing the work?
She is.
Yeah.
Melissa, this is super hard. And now that the bell's been rung, I don't know if we can unring it, but maybe we can find some sort of compromise. I know that other people have been through this process. So hang on right there. Don't move. I don't, you know, my parents are up there. I mean, at this point, I don't have a wife, so they could easily just move in with me. But
could they?
I don't. I mean, it would be strange. My kids are teenagers, but it would be a struggle and everything. But I don't know. I mean, it would be hard for me, but I would not. I would just, even if I was still married, I would just do it. Like I get why your husband did it. It's like, crap, my mom's sick.
Mm-hmm. Family first, always. Yeah.
Like I'm not. I don't even have to help out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's knee jerk. He's like, mom said she needs a place to stay. Here it is. Got it. I have a place to stay. There's a whole room over there with fluffy pillows and like a dresser. But he didn't ask, and she will be the one doing the lifting. And then he not only did he not ask, then he didn't tell her.
Yeah.
She found out from a sister, like from one of his sisters. That's like,
well, as a husband, that's classic. Cover up your first mistake with a second one. That's a good move.
Do they cancel out? Yeah.
All right, well, Melissa needs help. The mother-in-law is ailing and needs a place to stay, and apparently it's her house. What can she do now? 303-222-5423.
The Slacker Show.
Afternoons on Alice 105.9.
So we've got kind of a serious OPP. It's from Melissa. She's got a couple kids, a husband, the whole thing. By the way, the kids are like in elementary school, which kind of plays in. Mm. Her mother-in-law, her husband's mother, is sick, and the husband just was like, knee jerk. Yeah, we're letting her move in. He didn't tell her that. He told his sisters that. She found out through them, and now she's like, what do I do? Like, I don't feel like I can be a caregiver and a mom.
Those are two full-time jobs. Kudos to people who can do that.
100%. But plus he didn't,
I know, that's the gross part,
he didn't ask. So,
well, I think to him, it's just important. It's like, yeah, of course, whatever you need, your family. As maybe
and
she would to her parents.
And I know that you feel that, but like, we all can like agree, but you're also really good at being married, and you know better. you know better than to just go, of course.
Okay, I'll take your weird compliment. And
oh, did that come off as a compliment? Stephanie.
Yes.
Yes.
Yay.
What do you think?
I think that if the sisters are about 20 minutes away, there's got to be a senior home or some kind of assisted living facility. And if you put her in there, then the burden's off of you. Everyone can still visit. And if there really is a problem, there's nurses and stuff on staff that can help better than someone who doesn't know what's wrong.
But what do you do now that he's already told her yet? Like, he's told the whole family yes.
Yeah.
Well, you just say, you know what, if she has a stroke or if she has this or that, then we have to wait for the ambulance and we don't know what to do. And we don't have the signs to see that she's getting worse in dementia and stuff. So therefore, she's in the middle of all of you guys and the responsibility is off of you. It's people whose job is to do this because they have some really nice places. I had to put my mom in one. And we, yes, of course, you worry about the cost, but...
Because that's what I was going to ask you, Stephanie. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm just going to say this. Most families can't afford a home. It's like, it's not cheap. especially the nice places that do have medical people on staff, chefs on staff, the whole thing.
She gets Social Security. She can do a reverse mortgage.
Oh, wow.
And it's just going to reduce the amount of money that, you know, the family gets when she dies.
Right.
But everybody can help out, too.
Okay. So you've been through this, and you just felt like the home was the right play.
We tried to take care of my mom at home, but we were not qualified. She fell down. She had problems, and then we ended up having to put her in hospice. And it is really hard to watch that happen.
Yeah.
And I actually put my grandma in a home because she fell down a couple times. And it was wonderful because they have hair salons, and they're with other old people and all going on their walkers and playing bingo and whatever.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to entertain her either, which is going to make her health decline faster.
That's true.
And like we just keep saying, thank you for the call, Stephanie. It's all going to fall on Melissa.
Oh, for sure.
And how do you balance the time between somebody who needs like cleaned up and then your little baby? I don't know. It just, Brandy.
Hi. Yeah, you guys.
Yeah. What do you think?
So I just went through Alzheimer's with my mother.
Oh, God.
And if it's something like Alzheimer's, she needs more help than she will receive from friends and family.
Okay.
And that would be a huge reason to find a very good facility. There's great ones up Loveland, Fort Collins area.
Okay.
But she cannot do it on her own. I worry for her mental health. My mom was such a struggle. And once we finally got her into assisted living, and then she went into, of course, palliative care and all that. But it was just too much for my brother, me, and my sister-in-law to do. It was too much.
Okay.
I lost a job because of taking care of her.
And at a certain point, you just have to advocate for your own mental health, even though the sisters and everybody's counting on you. You just got to go like, I know we said yes, but no, sorry. Can't do it.
Yeah. When it becomes too much, either one of the sisters can take it on themselves and see how it is. But I do fear for her mental health. Mine declined. And like I said, I lost a job because of it.
Thank you for the call, Brandy. It's so tough because it's your family.
Right.
But you have a new family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like your wife would let one of her parents, and you would as well. But you got to think about Leo and Hazel. You have to.
But are there benefits to it, too, though, just having them around? I mean, I know you don't want to see them, the decline part, but it's not all decline, is it, all the time? You know,
I mean,
is
there in the last caller's case, Alzheimer's, I don't know a lot of benefits.
Yeah.
Because the people I know who've gone through it, like with the dementia and the Alzheimer's, sometimes the fact that they can't remember frustrates them so bad they get violent.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want little kids around that.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really know what all is going on with Melissa's mom, but like, it sounds to me like nobody thinks she should move into the house.
Yeah, we got an interesting text, though. They said in America, it's really the only place we don't really take care of our elderly as the same as...
I hate that you're saying that, but having been married, and you're married to a Latina woman, and I was married to a Brazilian woman, and it's a fact.
It's
and
true. All,
my Asian friends, it's just like the idea that you wouldn't immediately let your siblings, parents, grandparents, all of them move in with you, you're an a-hole if you don't.
Yeah. So maybe that's what her husband was trying to, maybe he's more on that wavelength. I don't know. It's tough.
All right, well, if you have any more advice or good facilities, we'd take some texts at 51059.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Slacker Show.
I mean, other people do.
They don't. Oh my God.
They have to clean it.
They wear gloves.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Well, you're joining this this already in progress. There's a story. I know we recently talked about, like, what's the smallest denomination of money you would bend down to pick up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And mine would have to be a bill. Like, there's no coin I would bend over for.
Really?
Yeah, no coin.
Even a heads up penny. That was mine. Head is a penny, but it's got to be heads up.
Aaron, would you like to interject?
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, sure. Everyone knows. I thought Tails was up.
Aaron,
was a good...
you are literally one of the... You are so dumb. What are you doing?
I was trying to be a good person.
You did the exact opposite of being a good person.
I thought Tails Up was good. So I was somewhere and saw a heads up, Penny, and I was like, oh, I got you next person. So I flipped it over.
With your hand?
Yeah.
You touched it with your hand. So you had the good luck and you flipped it and left.
Yeah. You rejected the good luck.
I don't think you can touch it with your skin.
Yeah, you can.
If it's heads up, yes, then you have the luck, but then you have to keep it. But so you like...
Not today.
Took
luck.
All of your, you're like, yeah, and it spiked the ball. You like gronked it in the parking lot. And now somebody is like, I think if you're trying to flip a coin over, you have to kick it. It's almost like It's almost like touching a fence or whatever. You got to use your rubber shoe, right?
Yeah. Okay. So otherwise you absorb.
Yes, the energy goes yeah. into you, but it can't get into you mm-hmm. through your shoe. But if you touch it with your finger, the reason we're talking about this is, despite the fact that we talked about this the other day, there's a new poll that says like it's a abnormally large percentage of men would grab a penny. Mm-hmm. From the urinal.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it heads up?
Well, we always pee real hard. Aaron's in there. Hold up, sir.
I'll fix that. I'll give
Kegel
you some.
Real quick.
I don't think I'd grab a penny. That wouldn't be worth it. But if there was a bill, any sort of bill in the urinal,
you would
I'd probably grab it.
A urine soaked. I would grab a mm-hmm. coin. If there was a gold coin in there.
Okay.
I would touch that before I would touch a bill. The bill has soaked in the urine. The coin, you could like, if you had something, if you had chopsticks, I don't know why you'd be walking around with chopsticks.
You just carry some
in your pocket.
Do
it in the bathroom. Well,
maybe I need a splint. If you just had, and you could, or you could use your...
Could you grab a paper towel, come back and pick it up?
Maybe. And as long as it doesn't have fresh pee on it, but I wouldn't grab the bill. Like, so
what if the bill was dry in, or like
how
only,
would it be dry?
Only a corner or like a yeah. quarter?
Have
half
you looked
of it.
At a urinal before?
Yeah.
There's no dry spot in a urinal. Dudes, we try to like, I try to pee in both corners and watch it run down. It's like,
there's not even really dry spots around the urinal.
God,
like the wall behind it, the floor underneath it. It's all kind of.
There's only like five guys in on the 11th mm-hmm. floor of this building. Yeah. And it looks like a Bronco game in our bathroom.
Aren't you supposed to pee on the little scent thingy?
You're supposed to. Like a lot of urinal companies have started printing like a fly. If you put something in the urinal, like they literally started putting like a little black fly on the porcelain and dudes will try to hit it.
Oh yeah. I've seen the ones with a little target.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that game at a Chuck E. Cheese where you squirt the water into the thing and that it's like that.
Because guys are dumb and we'll be like, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to do that. And even though you'd win
nothing.
Do you
get like a high score?
In your brain you do. Yeah. Yeah. You're just like, oh! Yeah. You're just trying to... So we got to the point where we were talking and Tiak basically has said you would, not only would you grab the bill, you would just willy-nilly put your hand inside. You don't believe in germs the way the rest of us do.
No, I think germs are just all over. I think like money's very dirty, whether it's soaked in urine or not. It's soaked in something. It's all just like money's the dirtiest. We always say like our the thing we never wash, the TV remote, our phones are filthy. Yeah. Yeah. Everything's dirty. We're touching it all the time. And when you're not thinking about the germs, it's not gross, right? We grab our phone 100 times a day and you don't think about like, oh, but it's got germs on it. And so I just think a lot of germs are that way. Like you just don't think about it. It's not really that gross. But if you think about it, it gets gross fast. So just don't think about it.
So you would just instantly, I'm going to put you in a scenario.
Okay.
You drop your phone. Into a urinal.
Grab it instantly.
Don't you remember just like a couple weeks ago, he dropped something into the urinal?
I did.
Did you drop like your kid's invitation?
It was a
card.
Yeah, a birthday card for my child.
She didn't know. All the way into the urinal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just a corner. Dabbed it off.
Okay. I'm going to go one step further.
I'm fine. I'm still healthy.
You're at a festival, a music festival.
Mm.
And you drop your phone. In that toilet. in the plastic shed.
It's gone.
Of a blue juice. Now, I don't know what phone you have. This is whatever, the 15.
Mm-hmm.
This bad boy's like $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have pictures of my kids and stuff.
That's what the cloud is for, fool. Back your phone up. I just need to know, because there's actually a dude, we've talked about it on the show. He's a friend of mine. His name is Maddie. And Maddie, if you're listening, I'm ratting you out. He's on a construction site. The only thing worse than a Coachella porta potty is a construction site porta potty.
See, now you're getting me to think about it, which is exactly.
Oh, it's just germs, whether you can see them or you can't. These germs, you can see them and you can smell them. Yeah. They're real. And your phone just went.
I would have to. I could not just shut the door and walk away and never see my phone again. I couldn't leave it there. I'd be like, I have to save it somehow.
Do you know in the movies when they've set the bomb off and they walk away slowly and the explosion happens behind me? That's my phone. I am never looking back.
The Slacker Show.
Afternoons on Alice 105.9.
I'm not going to talk.
Go, Aaron.
You were all brave before we got on the air. You're like, hey, Aaron, has anybody brought up anything? There's a story about facts you should not reveal on a first date.
Yeah, so I asked if any of these inappropriate facts have been revealed.
Why'd you ask Aaron and not me?
Well, you've self-admitted that you're not dating.
I'm terrible at it. Not
purposefully, you're just not.
Plus, I would think you would be the one bringing the things up.
No.
This list is...
Let's go through the list.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I'm not going through it!
So the first thing you should not bring up on a first date is your intimate past. Since your romantic history, especially if it involves a lot of casual encounters, is best kept private initially. Because otherwise,
you hear the way he stalled on that?
Yeah.
Made eye contact with you, then looked back down at the paper.
I don't bring it up.
I'm talking to the room.
You don't bring up that you've...
No.
Okay.
Not on the first date, no. That's something...
When do you bring it up? That you're...
If they ask later on, sure.
You ask what? Your body count?
Sure.
You're not going to tell somebody your body count.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, what's your body count?
Well, I have my list that I've been working on.
Chapter 4.
I got to get a bigger phone.
It says oversharing about your past experiences can send the wrong signal. I think either way, either way, even if you have a lot of history, if you have no history, it could send the wrong signal.
So you're
signal.
Not supposed to talk about that?
No, I guess
not. Not on the first date.
Okay.
These specifically say not on a first date.
But don't you want to, I'm just saying, don't you want to set the bar of like,
not
you must be this tall
date.
To ride this ride? Like, but the first date, do you sleep with somebody on the first date?
Yeah.
How did I
I'm
know?
I'm on chapter 5.
Okay, I mean, I think I would probably do that, so I'm probably wrong. I don't believe in holding anything back, which is probably why I'm terrible at dating.
No, I agree, but at the same time, not for the first date.
Well, I would think, yeah, because you're trying to just get to know the person, and you don't, it's like there's already the pressure of like, are we going to kiss after this? What are we doing later? And it's like, don't you just kind of want to put that over there and like, let's just talk and not have like, you don't want to say, oh, I sleep with everyone on the first date, because then they're like, done. Here we go. Like, I don't have to try anymore. Yeah. But you don't want to say, I never sleep on the first, because you might not hit it off or whatever, you know?
I want to say I sleep with everyone on the first date and watch their reaction to see what my chances are.
We get the tab or the bill pretty quickly.
make the little hand signal for a check. I don't know. Like, and I automatically assume we're going to make out at the end of a first date. Is that wrong?
Oh, well, I don't. Don't you have to feel out the date?
Yeah.
Isn't that second base? Okay. Well, I would just say, if you're on a date with me and I'm my usual charming self, you're going to want to kiss me.
Interesting.
Don't you think? This room is so awkward right now, because now everybody's looking at my mouth. Okay, keep going. Do a different thing.
You're dating hiatus, mentioning that you haven't dated or been intimate in a long time. It can raise a lot of questions.
I just did it just now. So, like, if I'm telling you guys and I'm telling everybody who listens to the show, I'm obviously going to tell a date. It's be like,
but doesn't it seem kind of?
I feel
desperate?
Like if you were to do it in a way of, you know, recently got divorced, back in the dating game, still figuring it out, like that's okay, because that's more of just a
like a thing of where you're at. Say it to explain why it's going so bad.
Well,
but they don't need to know that it's going bad. They don't. Yeah. They don't know.
No, it's going.
Because you don't know that if it's going well or bad for them. Like you're both just on this date.
When was the last time you went on a first date?
Like 11 years ago, okay. Probably.
Do you feel like it went well? I mean, no. Obviously it did. You married her.
No, but it didn't go well at all.
Did you interview her?
No, I did my anti move, which is I didn't make a move, and she just thought I didn't like her.
Okay, see, so. You should be asking, you should be floating the idea of sleeping with her. That's, my way is better, because like, we're definitely bunking tonight.
Who has the healthy marriage?
Okay, keep going.
Past abuse. Oh, yeah. Well, you got to disclose a history of abuse. That's important for like a future partner to know, but not necessarily
first
on
date,
a first date.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because you don't want to lead with anything that's going to potentially scare them off, when it's like, no, that's just something that...
But if you're...
No, and I will say that was one thing, and it still kind of is, where it was like, because I was still trying to date when my sister was alive, and being like, yeah, I can't go on a date right now because I'm doing this. Like, I had such a dilemma of being like, ugh. What do I say? When
you
do
have
I
to say
it? But I ultimately learned, be upfront.
Because if you're not, it's just like T-Hack's anti-move. Yeah. They're going to be like, this girl doesn't like me.
But
it's going to
go too
calls.
Far. Yeah, it's not going to be the good like reverse psychology. It's right. Just going to go downhill.
So you had to just come clean right away. Dude, can you talk about your exes?
No, this is the big one. Your crazy ex bringing up a messy past relationship. It sets a negative tone and should be avoided in the early stages.
I don't know. I also kind of disagree. The crazy part, definitely don't bring up.
What are we
talking about? I have gotten... I will say that you guys dislike a certain ex more than me. I have
for
definitely
because sure. We're your big brothers, and that
right.
was BS.
Yes, but I have like forgiven and moved on, and I have no problem explaining everything. Exactly, but for me, it's a green flag. So I'll bring it up if they ask,
and you'll tell the truth.
Yeah.
But I think you're coming at it not, you're not calling them crazy. You're coming at
exactly.
it from
so
a healed place.
So you can talk about exes, but not the crazy.
Because I think it's a red flag. If you're talking about the crazy ex, it's
for
like,
sure.
Okay, but what did you do?
Yes.
But what did you do?
Nothing.
That's what, no, but it's
that's
never.
That's the problem.
No, yeah. It's that suspicious.
Very.
Yeah. I'm not making out with you after this. This is not going well.
The Slacker Show. Alice.
105.9. We're going to blow up the text line right now because we need people to choose one of these three horrifying things.
51059.
Yeah. Already, I can't even look at Erin because she's
Why?
Already sort of answered which one she likes on the list.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, the question is which is more stressful, and I don't understand why one of them is listed.
You don't understand why the one you like is listed as stressful?
Yeah.
Get out of this room. Get out of this room. Actually, we're going to do the one. We're going to do the one for you. There, you have three choices to tell us which one is the most stressful thing on this list. The one that Erin is doing right now, which is losing her job.
Yeah.
Would you?
It's up there.
Okay. Landing a plane.
That sounds pretty stressful.
I've played Flight Simulator. I don't think it's that bad.
Not the same.
It's kind of the same.
I feel like it's just a sequence of buttons, right? It's kind of like DJing.
It's
like
not
you just
buttons.
Hit
you've had a bad landing, though, where you're like, am I going to live? That's pretty stressful.
Oh, where they're coming in hot, like a DIA.
Or it's like super
it's like,
bumpy. Yeah. Or yeah.
Yeah. But that's
have you ever
kind
been
of
on a plane that's sideways?
No.
No, but I have been on a plane where... We had to loop a few times,
oh,
and then
yeah.
we saw like fire trucks and
oh yeah, so they were foaming
underneath.
The runway because
yeah.
they thought your landing gear wasn't down.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whoa,
I've been on that plane too.
Pretty stressful.
That's stressful, but I'm like, you're not landing it; you were just riding in it. I'm saying, I think it's okay. Here's your three choices: which is the most stressful? Losing a job, landing a plane, or moving?
I would think losing a job would be the most stressful.
Really?
Yeah. I would.
I agree. Because
it's never happened. I've only quit jobs.
Today is your lucky day. We are sweeping.
Join the club, apparently.
Knock on wood.
I'm not that stressed about losing my job.
Really? It seems like such a hassle. Like you lose your insurance and you got to worry about, now I have to get my resume together and
especially
moving?
Especially with having kids. Wouldn't you be worried about like income for them?
Screw them.
Okay.
They got enough.
All right.
I mean, I've taken care of them this long. They'll figure it out. I just think, like, I think the three of us, we'd find another job really fast. Don't you think?
I think you would.
I mean, I could easily be an Uber driver like tomorrow. Like, as I'm walking out of here, I would literally like ask Uber to be a driver and I would drive somebody home from here. Like I would like losing my job is not that like I don't know.
Maybe it's a radio thing because I just love my job so much and it's always like you're clawing, you're hanging on for dear life and like you're under threat of being fired at any
minute.
Constantly. It is a constant thing. Yeah.
So which is different, I think, from other jobs. So maybe that for
me. But let's get to the one that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get to this. I mean, losing a job, definitely stressful. Landing a plane just feels like it shouldn't even be in there. Because obviously, I think landing a plane should win. If you're not a pilot, you should be the most stressed doing something you've never done in your life. But so, like, let's take that one off the list. And you got to choose between losing your job or moving. And I think I could find a job way faster than driving around my effing neighborhood begging for boxes. You go to the grocery store and go up to the produce guy. You got any boxes back there? Like, ugh. And you're trying to pack stuff and you're looking for newspapers to like wrap around your glasses and ugh. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Moving sucks. God. Say it.
I love it.
You
I
can't
love, moving.
Love it.
I do because I love the cleaning up, the trashing everything, the kind of like leaving the parts of yourself behind that you don't want to carry on. Unloading, organizing, and being like, this is, I love it. I love moving.
Not only are you saying it's not stressful, you're saying you actually derive pleasure.
Correct.
From moving.
Yes. I have met brand new people who have been in the middle of moves and I have offered to help.
Like you just walk by somebody who's stressed to the gills.
Like, I got you.
And you're just going to help them pack crap up.
Yeah.
Come on, we're not landing a plane.
The Slacker Show.
Afternoons on Alice 105.9.
All right, we want to talk about kitchen catastrophes. Okay.
You're the kitchen expert here.
Well, I mean, so I've had many of them in my life, but like there's this TikToker. Who is this person?
An idiot. I don't know how else to describe them.
She was trying to do some sort of cooking TikTok video or whatever, and a tiny little grease fire started, and apparently she's the last one to get the memo. Like, towel, definitely any powder, not water. Water is a no. Water is a hard pass when there is a grease fire. She dumped water on a grease fire. It turned into, like... It turns into like a fireball because the water goes under the grease and then it turns into steam and raises the grease up and it makes it like, it's like the Death Star exploding.
It's a real betrayal on the part of water. Like you think you're like, you're here to help me and it's like, I'm going to make it bigger.
Not in this place.
It's your water.
Right. So then she grabs a pan and tries to run out of the house with it and drops it in her living room. Which fortunately didn't light the living room on fire, like the impact or whatever, put it out.
Just so it's like, did you have a kitchen accident? No, not a kitchen accident per se. It's in the living room now.
We want to hear like what you did to create a kitchen catastrophe. 303-222-5423 or text in at 51059. I actually have one more real quick.
Okay.
I just remembered one. So this has sort of happened to me and I've told this story before, but I recently just had a friend do this. Have you ever like had pizza?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And then
done. Great.
And you're like, the leftovers, you want to kind of keep them warm. Like you're eating pizza and drinking and you have friends over and it's like, let's keep them warm in the oven at like 200 or whatever.
Yeah.
You just kind of throw it in the oven or whatever. So this friend of mine threw the pizza in the oven at 200. They partied, and then went to bed. And he was like, oh, his wife, as she went upstairs, was like, oh, the oven's still on. Turned it off. End of story, right?
Yeah.
No problem. Fast forward like a week, her calendar goes boom, boom, boom. Self-clean oven.
Oh, no.
Like she's got a thing on her calendar to self-clean the oven like once every 6 months.
Wow.
So before she leaves the house, she just walks in and goes, clean, boop, walks away. Never opened it.
Oh, gosh.
Never nothing.
Oh, I have to open it.
You always check.
She didn't.
Oh, honey.
So they have the things that I have, their Nest Protect. So you're, they're like part of your cameras and everything. So it eventually, when the house is full of smoke, you're getting texts on your phone saying, your house, it's like, get out, your house is full of smoke. So they checked their cameras and their house was like,
oh, it no.
did not, their house did not light on fire. Your oven is a rock solid unit that keeps it inside, but the pizza inside in the cardboard box, that your oven gets hot enough to light that, it becomes
it's fire. An incinerator.
Yes.
Wow.
So eventually when they got home, there was just a pile of dust, of pizza dust left, but they had to pay, I don't remember, it was like $8,000 to have the company come in and make their house not smell like
burnt pizza. The poor husband. I was going to eat that.
I know. He's like, I love to do it. No,
and now I like the smell. Don't bring the company in.
You do not want the smell of burnt cardboard box in your house.
Yeah. We had a similar thing in my dorm room where my roommate, he forgot to put the water in his Easy Mac, his mac and cheese. So he just... He just put the noodles in the microwave.
That's step one.
And let it rip, baby. And it cleared out the dorm. We went out of town that weekend, so I don't really know exactly what happened, but we left our window open.
Because...
And there was a big kerfluffle about someone did something in the dorm and we were gone.
Have you ever, this is the other kitchen catastrophe that I've done, and I'm a master chef, I like to consider myself, but I had a hankering for hard-boiled eggs late at night. So I put them on the stove, got the water boiling, and then you set the timer for 10 minutes, but I never hit start on the timer.
Oh, and
so
then
I went
to
and
bed.
Sat on the couch and fell asleep.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And you wake up when all the water has boiled off and the eggs are now, they're like
rock
Easy
hard.
Mac in a, oh no, it's on fire.
Oh.
They light on fire.
Oh. No.
For sure.
Because
you got
that.
Your burner on high. All the water's gone, so there's nothing to protect them. So it's just like burning death egg.
Definitely call the company to come get that
smell. Burning death egg smell is worth a call to whatever company it is. All right, so if you destroyed something in a kitchen, we want to hear your kitchen catastrophe stories. 303-222-5423.
The Slacker Show.
Afternoons on Alice 105.9.
We're doing kitchen catastrophes, catastrophes.
In the kitchen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always spell it with a K, too. I think it's kind of cute.
Oh, the alliteration. Yeah. KK. Got it. Sarah?
Yay!
Yay!
Kitchen catastrophes. What do you got?
I had a grease fire, and I threw what I thought was flour on the grease fire, and it was not. It had glucose mixed in it, and it flamed.
Oh.
Oh, sugar?
It was mixed flour that had sugar in it, and it flamed up and caught my whole kitchen on fire.
So you threw powdered sugar at it, is what you're trying to say. You're playing coy.
It was flour, but it was mixed.
What? Who would have flour mixed with sugar?
Well, because there's just like different.
I have four daughters in a very weird household.
What if it was like a pancake mix that had?
It could have been.
I agree.
There's a flour canister.
It's way too confusing.
Why is everyone defending Sarah? It is ridiculous.
Because her accent is so cute.
Your accent is on point, and we love you for that. But I'm just saying, flour over here, sugar over here. I don't have what if a recipe has 2-to-1 flour
one
sugar?
I should already have been baking, and instead of pouring the mix out, she put it back in the container.
Okay. Listen, you're asking for a grease fire. That's what you're doing.
I don't like it. The water can't help you. Now even the powder, the flour is like, now it's going
to
secretly start the fire.
Okay.
All right, Sarah, listen. I'm really confused by your story, but I want to give you credit and I want you to call us every day for something because your voice is perfect. Thank you for the call. You guys are just suck up. Somebody has an accent, they could say
swoon.
Jordan.
Yay.
Yay.
Kitchen catastrophe, what happened?
Oh, back when I was working in kitchen still, I'm not gonna say what restaurant because I still really enjoy this restaurant. But we were cooking, I was one of the head chefs at this restaurant, and we decided to play some hacky sack with one of the little paper bags that the fries come in.
Okay.
It caught on fire because it fell onto one of the stoves. And then we swatted it down and it rolled on fire underneath the cold, where we keep all of our cold food at. Huh. It rolled underneath and caught all of the electrical on fire underneath the cold case.
So, water not on grease, water on electric?
Right. Nope. No, I don't think you just do
flour,
the water on
sugar.
Nope. I think you pee on it.
As kitchen manager, you got to run a tighter ship than what's than hacky sack.
Thanks for the call, man. Stephanie.
Yay.
Kitchen catastrophes. What do you got?
So, I was living in Utah and I had a glass top stove. And I was being, you know, a good little LDS wife. I was canning peaches. So the stove wouldn't stay consistent. So I brought a cash cooker in. It's a propane one.
Oh.
And I might have burned a hole right through the kitchen floor into the basement.
Anytime you find yourself dragging a can of propane inside your house, you need to rethink your priorities.
Yeah.
You always wanted a skylight, right?
Dwayne.
Yes.
Yes. Kitchen catastrophe. What's your story?
My story was living in Jamaica, you know, partying with the boys, got home late in the night, and I had to prepare some soup and leave the soup on the hot plate, thinking that I'm just going to warm it up. And by the time I woke up, the house was on fire, and I had to rush up my friend out. The pot came alive with the fire all over.
So nobody got any soup is what you're saying.
The Slacker Show.
Afternoons on Alice 105.9.
I got a story about a dude who wasn't satisfied with one DUI and he decided to shoot the moon.
I have a story of some street racers, and you're not going to believe who was in one of those vehicles.
The Slacker Show's stupendously stupid stories.
My story is out of Ohio. There was police pulled over a vehicle. There were some street racers going on. There was a Mustang going real fast, going over 100 in a 60 mile per hour zone.
Let's go.
Yeah, but he was racing a United States Postal Service mail van.
Hold up.
So... Yeah.
Was the mail van got Nas? Like, what are we? Yeah.
Was that also going?
It was going over 100 miles per hour.
Shut up!
Wow.
Is that not what you want your mail to be going fast?
A
don't
little
you want
bit. It? Neither hail nor sleet nor...
Yeah, so he pulled him over. What's ironic, the mail guy's name was Drew Brown, not to be confused with what could Brown do for you. This was the United States Postal Service. And
I thought
was
we
issued...
were supposed to know who Drew Brown was. I thought you were being like cute. Aaron and I were confused.
He was being cute in a different way. Mm. Just the unfunny way, like usual. Yeah. He was issued a $240 fine. I think it makes sense. I mean, you pull up to a mail guy, you want him to give it his all. You don't want him to mail it in. With the race.
All right.
Your turn.
I've lost the will to do this. My story, not from Florida.
Aww.
But we all get to talk like we're from Germany! Yeah!
Gutenberg!
Gutenberg! Runza! Isn't that like a cabbage burger?
Yeah, it is German. Good job.
It's a German cabbage burger. In Germany, police pulled over a man who was weaving down the road. And when they tested his alcohol, he was 5 times the legal limit. What?
Danke!
Guess what they said? Get down! So they took him to jail. And when he got out of jail, guess what he did? He went to a bar and he drank more. He said, 5 times the legal limit, hold my beer.
No, give it back.
Got back into the car. He got pulled over again. This time, 10 times the legal limit.
Not
Let's go! Who's got the record? I'm the goat! I'm the goat! We get a lot of complaints about the goat sound, so I'm gonna just... Yeah. Anyway, he's now been arrested for 10 times the legal limit. He gets out later on today, so... Okay. Get to the chopper! Alright. Do you have any stupid punchline, or can we be done?
I've done enough.
Alright! Those were all the stupid people we could find for today.
The Slacker Show.
Alice 105.9.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, We'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.